Does this suit make me look fat?
No, your face does.
Listen, you little spazites, I know where you live and I've seen where you sleep. I swear to everything holy that your mothers will cry when they see what I've done to you.
Welcome to Couch Potato Theater here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Couch Potato Theater is the podcast where we like to celebrate all of our favorite movies that we like to rewatch all the time. All those cult classics, even those big, gigantic blockbusters. This is the podcast for you, and we're going to celebrate them all right here. I'm Kevin, your host for this special Couch Potato Theater here at the Fandom Podcast Network, and we are proud to celebrate the 1995, now 25 years old, the classic comedy, Tommy Boy. But I'd like to introduce my co-host for this fun road trip here. With me, as always, is my fellow co-founder of the Fandom Podcast Network and co-host on several shows like Culture Clash, Kyle Wagner. How are you, sir?
Holy shnikes, Kevin. That lady over there is really scary.
Yes, she is. And we are glad to have with us here on Couch Potato Theater our co-host of course, Union Federation Podcast, where we talk both Star Trek and the Orville. With us is the lovely Haley Stoddard. Haley, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. And yes, I am scary because I'm a mom.
The mom of a teenager. Yeah. Don't mess with them.
Exactly.
Thank you for joining us. But before we move on, Kyle, why don't you let our listeners know where they can find us on the Fandom Podcast Network and Couch Potato Theater?
I can do that. It might take me 7 years, but I can do that. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network, of course, on its homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, if you are using a mobile device, whether it's a tablet or a phone, you can download the Podbean app and search for the Fandom Podcast Network. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, of course, the Podbean app, Google Play, Spotify, and of course, most recently, iHeartRadio. Of course, you can also visit our Facebook page where we try to keep you abreast of everything that is going on in Fandom. Of course, you can email us too at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, or on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, you can find me, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can they find you and your M&Ms?
You can find me and my M&Ms on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And Haley, where can they find you and your unique way of eating French fries?
You can find me on Twitter. I am at Trekkie01D.
And of course, too, there's a couple great ways you can support the Fandom Podcast Network. First is, of course, our TeePublic store, teepublic.com, search Fandom Podcast Network, where you can find the logos and designs of all the shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. As you know, we want you to gear up, support the Fandom Podcast Network, whether it's t-shirts, hoodies, cell phone cases, maybe in a tapestry. You even have some cool pillows. I gotta say, they come out nice. And of course, all the proceeds from that go right back into the network so we can make better podcasts to feed your ears. And finally, too, we love feedback, especially on Apple Podcasts. That makes us stand out a little bit more on Apple Podcasts. The more reviews we get, it helps us out. We love hearing what you guys think we're doing as we strive to make better podcasts for you and hopefully fill your time during these interesting times. But with that, Kevin, I'm going to put you back behind the wheel. Just don't hit a deer.
No, not with this cherry car I've got. All right, well, here we are, Couch Potato Theater, celebrating 25 years of Tommy Boy. For those of you that maybe need a refresher on the plot of Tommy Boy, Tommy Callahan Jr. is a slow-witted, clumsy guy who recently graduated college after attending for 7 years. His father, Big Tom Callahan, owns an auto parts factory in Ohio. When Tommy arrives back home, he finds he has a position at the factory waiting for him. His dad also introduces Tommy to the new brake pad division of the factory and Tommy's soon-to-be stepmother, Beverly, and her son, Paul. But when Big Tom dies, the factory threatens to go under unless the new brake pads are to be sold. Therefore, Tommy must go on the road to sell them along with the assistance of Richard, Big Tom's right-hand man. Will Tommy save the company or the factory and the town go under. All right. Well, you know, when I was looking for, I always like to look for the theatrical posters that come out, and there's pretty much only one, and you really only need one for a comedy like this. It's iconic, and it's also on the DVD. Tommy and Chris Farley and David Spade on there together, and one of the slogans is, "At first you don't succeed, lower your standards." And that's the movie tagline. Now, Haley, you jumped on the idea of doing this movie, so I want to give you the floor first. Give us your personal notes on when and where you were first introduced to Tommy Boy.
So I was totally on board with doing this movie. I love it. I'm not a big fan of stupid comedies, but there's a few that I just absolutely love, and this is one of them. You know, 95, I was, oh gosh, it was 13. Yeah. So I don't think I saw it when it came out in the theaters, but I do remember watching it, and it probably was on television at one point. And I have loved it since. I absolutely just adore this movie. I had my mom watch it with me one time, and she was just busting up laughing. And so it's always been something that if I've been scrolling through television channels and it's been on, I'm like, nope, I got to stop and watch this because I need it. And now I actually own it. So finally own it. I've never owned it, but...
You got the Blu-ray Holy Shnikes edition.
I did. And I'm so happy I have it. And I actually just had my boyfriend watch it. He's never watched it. And so he watched it with me last
night.
Oh,
what do you think?
He thought it was okay.
Quite resonate with him, maybe?
Probably not. Again, I think it's just, you know, it's one of those where if you enjoy the stupid comedies, it's up your alley. But there were a few scenes where he was laughing pretty hard.
Well, I'd be curious. We're going to talk about that shortly, so to let me know which one. Kyle, what about you? When and where did you first see this, and did you like it right away?
Oh, I love this movie. I was all in the minute I saw the trailers for it. I was a huge Chris Farley fan back when he was competing with Patrick Swayze for Chippendale's dancer slots, or when he lived in a van down by the river. this to me is my all-time favorite Chris Farley movie. And everybody forgets, just because Spade and Farley are in it, this is actually not a Saturday Night Live produced film. This was its own thing. And it's just, it's great. And this was peak Farley. And it just hits all those great notes. And it's just, you pop it in, it's fun. Julie Warner's in it. I've always had a little secret crush on her, but even went back when she did Doc Hollywood, a few other things. You know, Rob Lowe is wonderful in this film. But yeah, this hit every note, and it was one of those great movies you just go in and you just shut your brain off, you enjoy it, you laugh, and you have a great time with it.
You know what? I have been a fan of Saturday Night Live since probably the late 80s. And I remember the Chris Farley and David Spade years vividly. And I honestly can't remember. I'm going to say I probably did not see this in the theater because I don't remember it having a huge theatrical run. It did not do well. It was a flop, basically, from what I remember. We'll go over that a little bit later. But I remember catching it on video. A friend of mine was saying, you know, you got to see this. Chris Farley is just excellent in this. And I remember all those skits from Saturday Night Live, like you mentioned, Kyle. In the van down by the river guy was the motivational speaker too. It was just hilarious. And I think when he did it the first time, David Spade was in that skit, I think with Christian Slater or something like that, when he was the guest host. And you could see David Spade trying not to crack up, or maybe he was either that.
It
was just so funny. And Chris Farley's physical comedy translated well to this movie. And I've got the DVD of the Holy Shnikey edition, and I like it because it folds out. You can see the little road trip they took on. It's pretty funny. This was just a great road film. And between Chris Farley and David Spade, they just played off so well and was very, very funny. But, you know, as Haley, when you said that you're usually not a fan of these type of like slapsticky comedies, this one kind of set apart because it had heart. you know, and there actually was a couple of great, like, dramatic moments in this film as well, even from David Spade, you know, when he was talking with, and we'll get in some scenes here, but when he's talking to Chris Farley's character, Tommy, about how his father would have been proud of him, you know. And so this movie had a little bit of everything. It was just, it was a comic timing was just genius. So let's actually talk about favorite scenes here. Haley, I want to start with you. I want you to talk about your favorite scenes, but I also want to know what scenes your boyfriend got, thought was kind of funny.
Gosh, there's so much in this movie. It's really hard to pick out favorite scenes per se, just because I do enjoy this entire movie. I think one of my favorites is when they're singing the one song in the car, because neither of them will change the radio station.
On the road trip, yeah.
And they're like starting to cry as they're singing. That I think is just fantastic. And oddly, I like the bees when they're screaming about the bees, because how
was that the, hold on, was that the Carpenter song? Was it Superstar? I think it was.
Oh gosh, I don't know. No, because it's like it's a really slow song. Yeah. And Tommy's driving, and essentially he's like, well, I'm not gonna change it. And David's and Richard's like, well, I'm fine with it if you are. And they're both just kind of like, well, we'll just leave it. And then like down the road, they're driving across a bridge and the camera comes in and they're just singing along with the words and crying. It's just great. The bees.
And you said the bee scene too. Yes.
Yeah. The bee scene down towards the end of the film. How convenient is it that they get two police officers who are allergic to bees and he's using the bees? Because how likely would that happen? And Tommy's reaction to that it worked. And there's so much in this. And I have to say, who did not talk into a fan and make those sounds and then say, Luke, I am your father. Like, who didn't do that as a kid?
What scenes did your boyfriend laugh at?
I will get with you and I will find out, because I don't remember. Okay. There was one that he really, really, really laughed at. He did kind of like the scene with the deer destroying the car, which I'm sorry, that is just so classic. And I love it to death that they're crying over Bambi and then Bambi destroys their car.
Kyle, what about you? What were some of your favorite scenes?
Oh, Haley brought up one. The deer coming back to life and destroying the car is just a classic. And come on, who can forget Fat Guy in a Little Coat? Fat Guy in a Little Coat. that's classic. I also, what makes Tommy Boy so, it's not even the scenes. Some of it is just the running jokes throughout the film. Like when he's trying to do his father's sayings, like about the butcher and the T-bone, right, and how he keeps messing it up. It wasn't John Hancock. It was Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
Or when they're, again, Haley kicked it off at the top of the show, when they're out on the water and the kids are making fun of them. And then Julie Warner just goes off. And it's just, it's great. And actually, one of my other favorite scenes is actually with Rob Lowe, where he's like, it's purely a physical comedy gag, but it's like, this is what I think of Callahan. And he turns and he's peeing on the electrical circuit and gets fried and thrown like 30 feet back.
I like the scene when Rob Lowe's so funny. I like the scene when his shirt gets sucked off. That was a good one.
That scene that Kyle just mentioned, that's the one that my boyfriend laughed at really hard. Okay,
yeah, I love the cow tipping scene too. I just think it's whole funny.
We did that as a kid. Yeah. So listeners, I grew up in a small town of about 40,000 people, 45,000 people, and there was not much to do late in the evenings. I never did, but I had friends that went cow tipping. I'm not going
to
lie. And like
to go cow tipping, the but whole, now it just seems mean.
The whole
Kevin, is it scene. Your first time?
The whole thing with them, like, what are we supposed to do? What's to do around here? And Tommy's just kind of like listing off little things. And I'm like, I can relate to this so
much. I can feel you. Growing up in Alaska, we didn't have cow tipping, but just the things to do were just okay, what were you up to? Yeah.
I like the hotel scene where it was part of the fat guy in the little coat one, but when Tommy figures out what Richard was doing when he was looking at the pretty girl out at the pool, and he's, and we'll talk about those in our favorite lines, but and then it just little things like I like when they're at the gas station. And it's Tommy's job to like fuel up the car, and he like bends the door backwards and he breaks it. But then the scene continues, though, when Richard goes in and he's trying to get directions from that very sarcastic clerk guy. I mean, just it was just comedy gold. There's just so many good scenes in that. Let's talk about favorite quotes here. And of course, the famous quote is, I can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking my head up a bull's ass, but I'd rather take the butcher's word for it. Tommy said, did you hear I finally graduated? And Richard says, yeah, just a shade under a decade too. All right. You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years. I know they're called doctors.
You notice Kevin does the Richard Smarmy pretty well.
Yes.
Of course, does the suit make me look fat? No, your face does. The fat guy in little coat is probably the most famous line in there because of the way that, I want to ask you about that scene, Haley, because this is probably one of the more famous scenes because apparently this is an ongoing gag and I think it'll come up later in trivia, but, it is just classic Farley, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I definitely would. And I was watching like the gag reels and extended scenes and stuff last night after watching this. And it's really funny because at first he couldn't get it to rip. And I just thought, oh man, if it didn't rip in the movie, what were they gonna do? But yeah, this scene I think is really what this movie is really known for, is the fat guy in a little coat. Just because it is incredibly classic and hilarious.
Kyle, do you have any other favorite quotes?
I'm going to save it for you, Kevin, because I know we're going to talk about it here in just a minute.
So one thing I want to mention really quick. So I know a lot of people like Chris Farley, this movie for Chris Farley, or the combination of Chris Farley and David Spade. I have to admit that upon watching this again, I actually like David Spade's humor way more than I like Chris Farley's in this movie. And it starts with the, my fellow nerds and I will retire to the nerdery with our calculators.
He's got a lot of great one-liners about that, definitely. And Tommy, of course, one of the other famous lines that Tommy always says is holy shnikes, of course. I love it when, and as you said about Richard, where he goes, when he's watching Tommy eat the fries and squirted ketchup in his mouth, he goes, ugh, I can actually hear you getting fatter. But then, you know, Tommy goes, when he catches Richard, you know, doing his thing, he says, Richard, what are you watching? Spanktervision? Maybe you're watching a movie with a funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
You know, I think that was the thing, though, with this. Those two played off each other so incredibly well. And I think everybody knew about Farley, but I think this is the movie that really put Spade on the map as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's definitely, I think this was both their film that they shined in and probably they're most known for. The director, Peter Siegel, he was the director of the 2008 Get Smart, Naked Gun 33 and a Third. He did Grudge Match as well. He's done a lot of directing, and he obviously knows his comedic stuff here. Produced by Lorne Michaels, of course, the famous producer of Saturday Night Live as well. But before we move forward, was there any other lines or scenes that you guys wanted to touch on, Kyle?
No, I think we've hit them all. I mean, truthfully, we could just recite the whole movie because the whole movie is just. Oh, wait. I did love the little tribute to Bo Derek when Tommy first meet her. Is like, Dad, she's a 10.
Yes. Okay. So, go ahead.
One thing, and I don't know if you guys kind of picked up on this, but towards the end when they're at the Zelensky Tower, essentially. And they're sitting on the bench and Tommy is like reciting all these like awful negative things that have gone on. And then the bench collapses on the side that he's sitting on. reminds me of country songs from the 90s. Like my truck broke down and my dog ran away and my girlfriends left me. And I just thought, that's a country song. Like, he's listing all these awful things.
Now we're going to, the writers, by the way, were Bonnie Turner and Terry Turner. But you know, just a few days ago, you know, we were planning on recording this podcast for Tommy Boy. We got the sad news that co-star Brian Dennehy, who played his father, Big Tom, passed away. And so I wanted to take some time to actually pay a little tribute to Brian Dennehy, because I thought that he was perfectly cast in this film as Big Tom. And he's funny as well. He's likable. And when he passes away, it's one of those somber moments of the movie. And this is where the heart of the film, I think, really starts to come in here. But I want to talk about Brian Dennehy here and kind of give you guys a chance to talk about some of your favorite films and roles. And I'll start. I mean, one of the things I remember him seeing more was in First Blood with Sylvester Stallone, where he played the evil sheriff, you know, the bigoted sheriff, you know, that didn't like him and where he was from. And I also liked him in FX with Brian Brown. He was good in that. And that was about the movie special effects guy who was hired to fake a real life mob hit. But my favorite role, other than Tommy Boy, is in the classic 85 Western Silverado, where he plays Cobb. He is an old partner of Kevin Kline's character, where they didn't obviously do good things. And now Cobb is the sheriff of this town, and he's still not doing good things. And he's excellent in that. But he was an icon. He's been in so many things. He's done a lot of voiceover as well. And Kyle, I want to start with you. Tell me what you were thinking about when you first heard that he passed away, that Brian Dennehy was no longer with us.
It was sadness, because the thing about Brian Dennehy was he's in so much stuff, but he's so recognizable, not only for his look, but for his voice. And you just know when you see Brian Dennehy on your screen, you know you're at least going to get one really good performance in a movie, no matter what. I mean, some of my favorite things he was in, I actually liked him in the remake of Assault on Precinct 13, with Ethan Hawke in it. That was very good. Of course, you brought up Silverado, which is excellent. Cocoon. He was great in Cocoon as well, being kind of one of the alien race that kind of was there, sent there to retrieve the others. Obviously he's great in Tommy Boy as well. But there's just so many things. I mean, you look at his IMDb and it just goes on and on and on and on. And he had some
great roles. He kept busy.
Yeah. He kept busy, but he was always good. And Kevin, I think number one, you said it yourself, is Rambo First Blood. I mean, yeah. he was phenomenal as the sheriff in that movie.
Yeah, he was really good. Haley, what about you? I know, you kind of made a point. You wanted to make sure that we talk about him, you know, do a little special little side thing for him on this. Do you remember him in a certain role before Tommy Boy, or was this it?
No, this was the only thing that I've recognized him from. I haven't seen any of those other movies, sadly to say. But I was really kind of sad when I saw that news, and it was just, it's hard to lose actors that you've grown up seeing so much. And I'm not liking it.
Yeah. I was also a fan of the animated film Ratatouille, and he played the character of Django in that, which I thought was kind of cool. But yeah, he will be missed. He's such an iconic character. According to his IMDb, he's still got stuff that's in post-production right now. I don't know how far he got along with, he's got Son of the South, which is post-production, supposed to be out this year, depending on what happens. Long Day Journey was something he also had in post-production. And he played a character in The Adventures of Buddy Thunder, which is in pre-production. So I don't know how that's going to happen with him passing away. But like I said, he's a very iconic character. And I don't know if I would call him, one of those character actors, Kyle, because he's had too many iconic roles, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think the thing about it with him, though, is he was – I don't think he obviously never really carried a movie himself, but he – whenever he was in something, he was such a great compliment to that film, whether it was a smaller role or a bigger role. And that was the thing. He worked. But and he didn't, whether he was in a movie for 15 minutes or he was in the whole movie throughout, he worked and he always put on a solid performance. And he was one of those people for a long time. He was one of those that guy people. And I think people finally figured out some things and figured out who he was. But still, you see him and it's like, oh, Brian Dennehy, you know, he's kind of like that movie uncle. Like you just. Right. You see him in something and it's like all of a sudden you have a comfort level because Brian Dennehy was in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the rest of the cast here. Of course, we've got Chris Farley as Tommy. David Spade as Richard. Bo Derek as Beverly. Dan Aykroyd as Zielinski. Julie Warner as Michelle. Rob Lowe as Paul. Those are the main casting. And when I was doing some research here, we found out that Rob Lowe actually did this uncredited originally, and he did it as a favor. But I was watching some of the behind the scenes on the DVD special features, and Dan Aykroyd was enjoyed doing this role. He was only on set, I think, for 3 days for his part. But he's happy that he did this film because not only is it a funny film, but he likes to be recognized other than someone else that he's already played, that now people come up to saying, oh, you're Zielinski. but I wanted, Haley, I want to turn over to you. Tell me about this cast here. What were some of your other favorites?
Yeah, this cast was really, really good. And again, I really like David Spade. I enjoy him. I think his humor is really fun. His characters are always really interesting. But he is Richard, and I know we'll get to it later. I couldn't see the other person that they were thinking of having play Richard. It wouldn't have worked as well. Dan Aykroyd is fantastic. And Rob Lowe's character is just really funny. I think, I know he was uncredited because of what he was working on at the time, but I'm so glad that he did it because you just wanted to punch him.
He played so well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle, what about you?
Well, Rob Lowe was just phenomenal in this. And when Rob Lowe does comedy, it's always amazing. Rob Lowe is a very underrated comedic actor. So I thought he was great in this. He was so snarky. He was so slimy. It worked so well. Obviously, Dan Aykroyd is always great when he shows up. Julie Warner, I really liked her character of Michelle in this and the role she played. And, you know, like you said, Chris Farley and David Spade were just, this was the apex mountain for them as a combo. And I think it is Chris Farley's best performance. And, you know, I mean, there's always been the comparisons of Chris Farley to John Belushi because of how they were and what happened. I think to this day, if Chris Farley lives, he goes down as a bigger icon than John Belushi.
Yeah, I think they're both up there right now. But yeah, I agree with you. That is, I mean, Chris Farley had it. He had that comedic talent, physical comedic talent as well. He had something special, and obviously people saw him with that talent, and that brought him to Saturday Night Live, where he got to shine there and also do the films as well. But I'm also with you, Haley. I love David Spade as Richard in this. He plays the straight guy perfectly, and he has some of the best lines in this film. And you know, it's funny too because as I've gotten older, I've kind of appreciated his role a lot more than when I first saw this film on VHS first back in the day. So yeah. The running time was an hour and 37 minutes. It was released on March 31st, 1995. God, 20 guys. Does it feel like 25 years ago, Haley?
No, it doesn't.
Kyle, it really doesn't. 25 years.
I think because this movie gets so much play in the cable recycle circles as mm-hmm. well, that you, it's one of those movies you kind of don't realize how long it's actually been around because it's always around.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, we had a PG rating of PG-13. The budget was around $20 million. The opening weekend on April 2nd was a little over $8 million. The worldwide gross was $32 million and some change. So it made some money, but I'm going to guess that it probably made more money on video because I think that's where it really took off, as a lot of films did on home video and word of mouth. We have some reviews and critical responses here. Tommy Boy received mixed reviews from critics upon its release. Rotten Tomatoes gave the film a 42% approval rating. Where the consensus reads, though it benefits from comic charm of its two leads, Tommy Boy often feels like a familiar sketch stretched thin. I don't know if I agree with that at all. Metacritic gave it a 46 out of 100 based on reviews on 20 critics. Kevin Thomas, the Los Angeles Daily News, gave the film a positive review, calling it a sweet-natured and good belly laugh of a movie. I think that's good. Brian Repster of the Online Film Critics Society also received the film positively, saying that the film would please Farley fans. Dan Marcucci and Nancy Sorogi of Bloomfield Enterprise said the film was Farley at its best. Among the negative reviews, Chicago Sun-Times film critic Roger Ebert wrote, Tommy Boy is one of those movies that plays like an explosion down at the screenplay factory. You can almost picture a bewildered office boy, his face smudged with soot, wandering through the ruins and rescuing pages at random. Too bad they didn't mail them to the insurance company instead of filming them. The film is on Ebert's most hated list. Kyle, I saw you giving me the thumbs down here. Now, what I used to watch Roger Ebert and Siskel at the movies all the time. But when it comes to comedies, Ebert specifically just doesn't get it. He doesn't get slapstick. He doesn't get funny. And he's never really been a fan of comedy. So what was your take on this review?
This is typical Roger Ebert. I'm better than everything. It's too lowbrow for me. He gave it one star. But this is also what makes Roger Ebert fun to bring up on reviews, because he is so all over the map. He'll like things and everybody's like, what? And then he'll like things and it's like, wow, I'm surprised he liked this. You just don't know what to expect from Roger Ebert films, but he was so wrong here.
What do you think, Kaylee? Was he wrong?
Yeah. And I'm also intrigued to know what else is on his most hated list. Like, even I don't have a most hated list. I like a movie or I don't.
Yeah, I just see him like scribbling it on the wall next to his typewriter or something, you know. Oh, I hated that movie. You're going to get on the wall. Bo Derek was nominated for a Razzie Award for Worst Supporting Actress. they're reaching there. So under video releases and alternate versions, the UK cinema version was cut by 9 seconds for a PG certified to edit shots of a woman pulling down her bikini and the sound of a man unzipping his fly. Later releases were uncut and upgraded to a 12 certificate. I must mean UK rating there. When it aired on Comedy Central, it omitted the part when Tommy was singing that he was a maniac and how he's a boss when Paul cleans him with gas after they get dirty by the cows. In the TV version, in the housekeeping scene, Richard asked Tommy if he would like a French kiss instead of offering a you-know-what. Yes, exactly. The soundtrack with this, I thought, was pretty good. Of course, we get the great famous sing-along. We've got songs by I Love It Loud by Funk Jesus. We've got Silver Naked Ladies by Paul Westerberg. Call on Me by Primal Scream. Wait for the Blackout by Goo Goo Dolls. My Hallucination by Shaw Blades. Air by 7 Day Dairy. Of course, Fat Guy in a Little Coat by Chris Farley. A Superstar by the Carpenters. I think that's that song that's in the car, I think. Is Chicago Is Not Chicago by Soul Coughing. Come On Eileen, Dexy's Midnight Runners. It's the End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. And My Lucky Day by Smoking Pope. So what'd you guys think of the soundtrack, Haley?
I love it. But I also love, you know, 80s classic rock. So I just thought it was great. I can sing along with almost everything except for the one Spanish song that they're singing at one point in the radio.
Kyle, did you like the soundtrack?
Oh yeah, this was great. It fit perfectly with the film. You got the 80s music. You've got it, every song they pick just fits the characters of this film too. I mean, yeah. It works so well. And, you know, come on, you don't get better car music than riding with David Spade and Chris Farley.
It's true. It's true. The music soundtrack was done by David Newman. I want to talk about filming locations here. Obviously, they shot some scenes in Sandusky, Ohio, where you know, the plant's supposed to be, other places too. But a lot of the road trip scenes and a lot of stuff was actually filmed in and out of Toronto area in Canada, and a couple other places. But I thought it was interesting. I was watching some behind the scenes stuff on the DVD extras. And David Spade was talking about how this is, they started filming this in September, which is when Saturday Night Live started the new season. And so he talked about how busy their week was, and it had its toll on them. So think about this for a second. So you have Wednesday is the read through for whatever guests you're going to have on Saturday Night Live. Then on Thursday, they would take a private plane up to Canada, film some scenes. Then they would come back on Friday to do some dress rehearsals. Saturday, obviously, do the show. And then they always have this after-party cast party, and it's at like starts at 1:30 in the morning on that Sunday morning after Saturday Night Live. Then they would fly back to Toronto, film Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And then they would repeat this over and over again until the movie was done. Can you believe that, Haley?
No. I think, oh my God, it makes me tired just hearing their schedule. No, thank you.
Kyle, it's almost like your editing schedule for podcasts.
Not quite there yet.
We're going to take a quick break and let you know what other great podcasts are here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, a weekly pop culture podcast. For you movie fans, we have Couch Potato Theater, where we celebrate our favorite cult classic and guilty pleasure movies. We also have Time Warp. That's our fandom flashback show, where we like to look back on our favorite fandoms. For you NFL fans, we have the End Zone podcast. And of course, for you Alfred Hitchcock fans, please check out Good Evening. For you Star Trek and Orville fans, we also have the Union Federation podcast. And for you hard rock metal fans, we have Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Doctor Who fans, we've got one for you as well. We have Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. If you're a fan of 1980s action films, please check out Lethal Mullet. And our newest show, we have a Star Wars podcast called What a Piece of Junk. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Please search on Facebook for Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right. Welcome back to Couch Potato Theater's special presentation of Tommy Boy 25 years ago. We got some trivia for you here. I thought maybe we have a little fun, read them together here, and I'll start off here. Rob Lowe played the supporting role of Tommy's stepbrother and is uncredited. The reason for this is because Rob was contractually obligated to Stephen King's The Stand in 1994 at the time, so he took the part simply as a favor for his friend Chris Farley. Haley?
Yeah, and again, I never really noticed that he wasn't uncredited, but then again, I don't really pay attention to credits in movies unless it's a Marvel one, and then you're just stupid to not to. So I think it's fantastic that he was like, yeah, I'll do this. You don't need to credit me. It's fine. We're buds. We're pals.
Yeah, that was kind of cool that he did that. Did you want to read the next trivia there?
Sure. So on the list showing the exam grades of the students at the beginning of the movie, you look down at the bottom. One of those names is Helen Keller, and unfortunately, she scored an F, and I've never noticed this, so I'm going to have to go back and look at it.
Kyle?
According to David Spade, he and Chris Farley got into a physical altercation on the set. Spade had gone out for a drink with Rob Lowe the night before. Farley had become very jealous and angrily repeated, "How's Rob Lowe?" David got so fed up with Chris hounding him on the subject that he threw his Diet Coke on him, to which Chris responded by throwing David into a wall and down the stairs. After the fight, Spade walked off the set and refused to continue filming. The pair would sometimes go for hours without talking to each other, talk to each other through the director, etc. I'm going to say this is probably not the first time Rob Lowe has caused a fight between two people. Usually it's for other reasons, but...
Spade said that fat guy in little coat routine began as an in-joke between him and Chris Farley when the two shared an office together working at Saturday Night Live. Farley would often break up the monotony of their writing time by repeatedly pranking Spade with the idea. He would always insist that he had new material to show Spade, then turn around and reveal it once again to be fat guy in little coat joke. Spade said he and Farley decided to use it for this movie, thinking that it would be funny to them. It may be funny to others as well. And they were right. Haley, go ahead.
All right. So Peter Segal told the Film School Rejects that at one point during production, scheduling conflicts almost forced Rob Lowe to drop out of the film. This resulted in the filmmakers holding impromptu auditions while the movie was already filming for the part of Paul Barish. Matthew McConaughey was one of the actors who auditioned. Eventually, Lowe's scheduling conflicts were resolved and he was able to appear. I can't see Matthew McConaughey in that role.
I was thinking I could, actually. it would be a different role, I think. What about you, Kyle? What do you think?
No, because Rob Lowe pulls off the smarmy to perfection. Let me put it this way. The only thing where he might have been smarmier in that was better was Wayne's World.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
so more Chris Farley, David Spade issues, because according to David Spade, both he and Chris Farley ended up dating Lori Bagley, who played the naked woman at the pool. According to Spade, this caused some tension between them during the filming of Black Sheep.
The following year, yes.
Yeah.
The role of Helen the Waitress was originally to be played by Roseanne Barr, but she was busy at the time, was unable to appear in the film.
Tommy says, son of a... 10 times throughout the film. I could have sworn it was more.
Original working title was Billy the Third, a Midwestern. However, Lorne Michaels was also working on Billy Madison and insisted the change. Other names considered including Fat Chance and XL before settling on Tommy Boy, and thank goodness they did.
Yes. When Bo Derek's character comes out of the pool, Tommy says, Big Tom, to Brian Denny, whoa, Dad, she's like a 10. Derek and Denny, he both appeared in the movie 10 with Bo Derek. So, yeah.
Chris Farley's first starring role, his premature death 2 years later, prevented him from becoming the major movie star that he had been groomed for.
Christian Slater was considered for the role of Richard. No, because Christian Slater is too likable.
I don't think that would have worked either. Yeah.
No.
Okay, so I want to ask you guys a question. I want to go down to sequels here. Farley died 2 years after this film. He did Black Sheep. I know he did Beverly Hills Ninja. I could have seen them doing a sequel to this later on. I think all the pieces would have been there. I think they all would have done it. It would have been an interesting story with the factory or something like that. Haley, I want to ask you, if Farley hadn't passed away, do you think there would have been a sequel? And first of all, would you have liked to have seen a sequel?
This is really interesting. I never really considered a sequel to this, but I definitely could see it happening because, you know, towards the end of this movie, you see Richard kind of loosening up a little bit. And then you see Tommy growing and kind of stepping into his dad's shoes a little. And it would have been nice to have seen not only some continuing banter between the two of them, maybe some more shenanigans down the road. They've got to save the factory again in some other way or ramp it up in some fashion. So I think it definitely would have been really fun to have seen these characters again. Some of them anyway.
What about you, Kyle? Do you think maybe another road trip would have been interesting, or maybe if they've gone overseas, what would you have liked to have seen in a possible sequel?
Oh no. A sequel screams one thing. Tommy the Dad.
Oh geez.
could you imagine, you know, like, I don't know how old you make the kid. Maybe you make the kid just old enough, like in toddler age or something like that, and it's like Tommy and Richard having to take care of the kid or something along some of those lines. But I mean, come on, who doesn't see Tommy Callahan just as a dad and just struggling mightily as a dad, being that lovable dad, but just being more goofball than his own kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see. I would have liked to have done like another road trip, but maybe go overseas or something where they want to go like international or something like that. I think that would have been a lot of fun, especially if they went to some fun parts of Europe or even Australia or something like that. I just think that comedy duo would have been great. I would have liked to have seen Zelensky come back and maybe be more of a villain or something. I don't know. Something like that might have been kind of interesting. But let me ask you guys about this. What about doing a remake or a television series based on this? Haley, what about you? What do you think?
No, I think that there's some movies that I grew up with that they are great the way they are. And I get the whole let's make a movie, but put in actors that everyone knows now. I'm not a big fan of that kind of stuff. I'd rather see original stuff come out now, a new story, something different than, hey, we're going to take it. And I don't know if you could recreate the magic that Chris and David had with other actors.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Kyle? Would you like to have seen a reboot or a television series?
No. And for basically it boils down to this reason. There is nobody in Hollywood right now who could do what Chris Farley did.
Yeah.
Did. I mean, I think, and especially in this particular case, this is Chris Farley's, I think it, with the short career he had, this is his movie masterpiece. And I think it needs to be untouched and left alone.
Let's talk about that for a second. I was thinking about if Chris hadn't passed away, other than maybe a possible sequel to this, what else would you have liked to have seen him in? Any other? I could have seen him starring in his own TV series. Obviously doing some more movies, maybe working with some other comedic geniuses. Haley, what about you?
Yeah, I think a TV series would have been fantastic, but then maybe also something like a road tour of, you know, maybe him and David or some of the other SNL from the time cast members doing, you know, comedic stand-up. I think that would have been fantastic.
What about you, Kyle? You think, you know, what else would you have liked to have seen from Chris if he had not passed?
I think he could have done a TV show. I think there would have been more movies. I think a road trip, you know, Kevin, because you're a big SNL fan, I want to ask you this, because in my opinion, this group of SNL actors, you're talking about David Spade, Chris Farley, Adam Sandler, you got to throw Chris Rock in this generation. Outside of the original cast, this might be the best generation of Saturday Night Live cast.
Yeah, because you had Phil Hartman coming in during this time as well. It's tough for me because there's like three big stages of Saturday Night Live that I really liked. Of course, you have to go back to me, the original Saturday Night Live. I didn't grow up on that. And I've seen a lot of that with Belushi and Aykroyd and Chevy and all those guys. But to me, it was more about the Wayne's World time and during those guys. But Then after those guys, then you started getting Farley and Spade and all of these guys. But then you started to later on, you started to get that kind of late 90s, early 2000s. With Farrell and all those guys as well, Sherry O'Terry. This part of Saturday Night Live, though, I would probably have to say is probably my second favorite, next to the Wayne's World years and that run for me personally, because I was really into Saturday Night Live, not just because of the comedy, but also for the musical acts. And I've stayed with the show even through its bad years. I still continue to watch it. And I enjoy it. And right now it's kind of struggling a little bit. It's not quite found that cast or, you know, a couple of standout people yet. I think it always kind of goes through phases, you know, I think. But it's definitely, it was a good era, Kyle.
Of course, we all have to agree that Kenan Thompson at this point is like the godfather of Saturday Night Live.
God, I think he's been there for like 25 years. I know. he's like the Tim Meadows of now, you know, so.
I want to just interject something here, Kevin, if you didn't mind, because if Farley would have lived, where would he rank in comedians and comedy actors at this point? Because I think he would be top three right now, even still.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he'd be up there. I also think he would have been challenged and maybe have done something dramatic as well. I think, all comedians kind of want to have that dramatic role as well. Haley, were you ever a fan of Saturday Night Live?
I watched it periodically. Definitely the Dana Carvey years and the Wayne's World years, yeah, kind of stuff. And then early years when Will Ferrell came in, I remember the cheerleading skits. I was in late high school, college at that point. So yeah, I remember watching that. I actually watched, I think, probably more Mad TV than I did SNL.
Yeah. Love Mad TV, yeah.
Orlando Jones, and Will Sasso, Frank Caliendo of Mad TV as well.
Yeah. So, but yeah, definitely. I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Kevin. I kind of watched it, not as much probably as you did, but those Wayne World years were probably some of my favorites. But then when these guys came on, I loved it too.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those sad losses that, he died when he was only 33 years old, I don't know if you guys know, but he has a brother named Kevin Farley, and he had a cameo during the wedding scene. I just think that Kyle, I think he would have been in like the top three comedians. It would have been very interesting to see if, where he would have gone in his career. But, he lived his life in the fast lane, and unfortunately it caught up to him. And it's reminiscent of what happened to Belushi as well. They both, loved to party and drink and probably do drugs excessively. And unfortunately it, cut their lives short, I would have to say, from all of the Chris Farley things that I've seen, I think this is definitely what he's most known for. Wouldn't you say, Haley?
Definitely. I agree. So, and I think this maybe reached a broader audience. Not a lot of people were big on SNL. And so this really put him out there and on the map.
Yeah. What about you, Kyle?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And I think there's a bit of a Farley renaissance going on. A couple of years ago, we had that I Am Chris Farley documentary. Mm-hmm. And Adam Sandler, in this stand-up round he's doing, has been doing tributes to Chris Farley almost in every show. So I really do think that there's kind of a little bit of a Farley renaissance going on right now. And people are kind of visiting things he did. It was a small body of work, but it was a very impressive body of work.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to, merchandise and stuff. I remember getting a Callahan's auto t-shirt. It was like green. I remember getting one of those. And I want to say when I bought this DVD, I think it came with a small little bobblehead of Tommy Boy. I don't know what happened to it though. But I do remember having that for a while. But other than maybe like a Holy Schnikey shirt or something like that, there really wasn't much merchandise that I can remember seeing. But I was funny. It's funny too, because I was watching some of the deleted scenes, and the one scene that you see in the video here is, remember when David Spade's character comes up and Tommy like drops his towel and he's just in this really tiny like underwear. Well, there's a deleted scene where you get to see where it was a joke on Spade and he actually is not wearing any pants. You just,
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. I think the best one was the cow when Tommy's like, oh, I'm going to go pick pizza. And I just have to decide what kind of pizza I want. And he walks out the hotel room door and they put the cow, the fake cow, in the hallway. Yes. You talk about merchandise, Kevin. I have to say, the necklace that Michelle is wearing was actually really popular in the 90s. And I'm more than certain I had
a necklace. You had one of those?
I had a necklace that was similar to that, but it wasn't like because of the movie. It was just popular jewelry at the time to have. So, and I swear I have one like that.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's wrap this up here. Let me know how you're feeling about, I mean, one of the things that I love covering these comedies like this is that a lot of these still are funny today. They hold up. There's some of them that are really dated. This one, I don't really feel that it's dated too much. Let me ask you guys about that. As I was watching this, obviously they don't have cell phones and stuff like that, or, at least the ones that we have now. But the story still fits. it doesn't feel like it's aged that much, and it feels like it could take place nowadays. Wouldn't you say, Haley?
Definitely. And I think that's just because it's small town America. It's this little town that's struggling to survive. And we still have that today. These little towns that are, you know, some local thing and it's just there and they're trying to make it work and they're family run. And it definitely could be something that could be told today for sure.
Kyle, when you were rewatching this, you were watching it digitally, correct?
Yeah.
Do you feel that this movie's dated?
No, and I think Haley hit on the exact reason about it, because it takes place in small town America. Yes, they end up in Chicago and stuff like that, but everything about it doesn't focus on the pop culture going on at the time. It's about this story, and I think that's why it works that way, and it feels timeless. And I think when you go back and you look at a lot of comedies, the ones that are timeless really are the ones that don't focus on a pop culture of the time they're in. They're just a story, and that's what makes this work. This is just a story. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. We just did a Tropic Thunder CPT, and that was the story of that movie, not so much about the times that it was in. Yes, you're going to have little things like cell phones and things like that, but it's the story that makes the comedy, and that's what makes a comedy timeless. So you can have a pop culture comedy, kind of like, you know, Wayne's World. I love Wayne's World. I don't know if I would. There's aspects of it that are timeless, but there's a lot of pop culture references in Wayne's World that kind of do feel dated at this point.
That's a good point. Excellent point on the pop culture stuff. Let's wrap this up, guys. I want to get your final thoughts on this, where this movie stands with you now. Do you recommend it? And just, you know, give me your final thoughts on Tommy Boy. Let's start with you, Haley.
Yeah, no, I definitely would recommend this movie to anyone who hasn't seen it, or if it's been a long time since you've seen it, you need to go back and rewatch it. I think this is just a great, fun, not really have to concentrate or think about what's going on. You can just sit back and enjoy this movie. And, you know, for me, it's up there. It's probably not super high on my list of films that I really, truly just love. I have a few genres that I really, truly enjoy, and this doesn't quite fit in there, but I love it. And if it's on TV, like I said, I would always stop and watch it because it's just funny. And sometimes you need it.
Yeah. I was just thinking, Kyle, I want to get your final thoughts too, but I want you to comment on one thing. You know, when you think about good road movies, obviously you go back to the old Bob Hope and Bing Crosby days as well, and then maybe to the vacation films. This has got to be one of the most iconic road films, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny is, and I think it's even more ironic because you have Dan Aykroyd in this film, and you go back to the Blues Brothers, an SNL stars film, major road movie, everything like that, and you tie it all together. You have this road movie here. You have Dan Aykroyd in this movie. There's a lot of little things that tie together, and I think that's one of the things that makes this movie so great. And it goes to show you there's just certain tropes that always work, and road trip is always one of them. But again, with this movie too, the great thing about it, Kevin, and you brought this up earlier in the podcast, is this movie has a heart to it. And I think it's one of those movies you laugh at it, and you get some really good belly laughs out of it because Farley is just so... You want to like him. That's the end of the day. You want to root for him. You want to like him, and it's genuine. And with everything that is going on, this is one of those movies that, yeah, you need to go revisit this. You're going to feel good afterwards. You're going to get a few good belly laughs. And oh, son of a!
yeah, it does have heart. And every time, you know, every time I watch it, it's like having a nice warm cup of soup and you know, you're eating it. And it just brings me back to a nice, fun, familiar place. But there's also a little bit of like sadness, too, because I miss Chris Farley. I really do. I miss him. I loved him on Saturday Night Live. I love him in this film. He was such a comedic genius. And as far as I knew personally, he was a good guy. He just obviously his fast way of living and stuff just caught up to him and his health issues and stuff. And I miss him every time I watch this film, but I'm still overcome by how funny this is, how heartwarming it is. And it was just one of those films that just hit at the right time. and has not only hit at the right time, but also is just sustained and is still funny after all of these years. And a lot, everyone that I know likes this film usually. I mean, I haven't heard anyone say, nah, that movie sucked. You know, like, oh, I love Tommy Boy. You know, when I posted that I was doing a rewatch, you know, I got some great comments on it as well. Anyway, Haley, thank you so much for coming on and talking some Tommy Boy.
Thanks for having me. Sorry, my audio is not having it today.
That's all right.
But I'm so glad.
We can hear you just fine. Kyle, oh, as always, thank you for jumping on some Tommy Boy with me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun to podcast with you, but I really got to get back to my van down by the river.
Call me on your walkie-talkie.
There you go. Again, I'd like to thank Haley, like to thank Kyle, and thank you guys all for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this special presentation of Couch Potato Theater, Tommy Boy from 1995. Until next time, we will see you on the couch. Holy shnikes! Thank you and goodbye.